Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Atlantia's full year 2017 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Giovanni Castellucci, CEO of Atlantia. Mr. Castellucci, you have the floor.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everybody. Let me say a few words before leaving Mr. Sonego to go through numbers. It's a good year in terms of performances. Most of the activities had very positive developments, including Fiumicino, who is suffering from Alitalia problems, but still producing interesting numbers, strong results, strong growth on the most profitable business, which is intercontinental traffic. All the parts of the company are progressing quite well. I will ask Mr. Sonego to go through details, and I'm ready to answer to any question you will raise, including the very recent transaction on Eurotunnel Getlink. Mr. Sonego.
Thank you, Mr. Castellucci. I will drive you through the main results of full year 2017. I will be, I think, very quick because we think our results are very explanatory. As you can see, starting from page three, basically, we are very proud to say that almost all results are growing between 6% and 8%, in particular, EBITDA net income, and FFO is actually more than 8%. Dividends, this is the main announcement we are proud to do about the dividends. We are growing by 26%, that we think is a significant increase, while net debt is decreasing from 2.6, while last year it was 3.1. Again, this is a result of deleveraging and a partial disposal of some assets, as we are going to see later on. Going through results sector by sector, let's start with the Italian motorways. As you can see, traffic grew by 2.2%, and it is a result also driven by heavy traffic that increased much more, 4.7% versus 1.8% for light traffic. This is giving a so-called mix effect because of the different tariff for heavy vehicles rather than light vehicle. As a consequence, traffic is growing all in all by 2.5%, including this effect. That, in combination with the tariff growth, is giving approximately 100 million euro more in EBITDA. All in all, the EBITDA is growing by 2.9%. In terms of main results, let I remind you that we got, in September 2017, the approval of the final design of the Genoa bypass. This is a 4.3 billion euro remunerated CapEx that we are going to see in the next 10 years. On the other side, on the debt side, well, we cut the cost of debt by approximately 25 basis points, and we increased maturity by one year. As you know, we have been able, in the last year, to place approximately 12% interest in Autostrade per l'Italia, and we got 1.7 billion euro cash from a consortium of investors ranging from Allianz, ADF, and DIF, as well as the Chinese wealth fund, Silk Road. Moving to the overseas motorways, traffic is very good. In Chile, we got close to 4.8% increase, in Poland, over than 5%, and more importantly, in Brazil, we saw an increase by 2.3%. You can remember, of course, that past years, traffic in Brazil suffered because of the economic downturn. This is a year where we are seeing some recovery that is pretty encouraging. All in all, we got an increase of approximately 10%, thanks to the good performance, in particular in Chile and Brazil. And we also got the benefit of the foreign exchange, because both Chilean pesos and Brazilian reais appreciated. This had an impact of approximately 20 million in our EBITDA growth, on top of the 10% organic growth. In terms of investments, we continue our expansion in LATAM. Grupo Costanera in Chile has been awarded with approximately 700 million euro of new CapEx work. I'm referring to Autopista Vespucio Oriente 2, the project that includes the extension of Vespucio Sur and this connection with the rest of the outer ring road of Santiago. This is a 5.2 kilometers network extension. We got also the project Ruta 68 that is another 10 kilometer extension. This is basically a chance to increase traffic on Costanera. Costanera has almost completed the Santiago Center Inter project. It almost completed 92% of works for a total amount of 350 million euro. And also in Oriente, we completed the works, including the concession agreement, with the construction, the doubling of the residual tunnel to be completed. And we plan to migrate all the roads to a free flow system. ADR, as you know, we are very proud of the turnover, the turnaround of ADR, that now is considered by ACI the best airport in Europe, at least among the largest airports with over 40 million passengers. Traffic volume declined a little bit, honestly, in 2017, minus 0.6%. This was also the result of the situation of Alitalia. As you can see, domestic traffic fell by 8%, but more importantly, we are seeing extra European Union traffic to grow significantly, more than 6%. And what is more encouraging is that also in the first weeks of 2018, we are seeing a traffic up by 1% globally, and in extra European traffic is growing close to 12%. The change in mix in passengers is giving an upside to revenues from commercial areas. You know that about 1 year ago, we opened the new extra Schengen area with a new shopping gallery and a new pier. Well, after more than 1 year of completion, we are seeing an increase in revenues from passengers in that Schengen, extra Schengen area by 35%. And we are close to start works for the extension of the Schengen area terminal. So we expect probably not a similar growth, but a good growth in contribution from this business area, also from the Schengen area, once the renovation will be completed. Moving quickly to France, the acquisition of the Nice Airport is very, very satisfying. We are seeing traffic growing by 7%. And here to date, we are seeing a traffic growth by 10%. This is a result also by the development of new routes, including capacity increase, because now a couple of routes have been opened, in particular the route Nice-Doha and Nice-Dubai, with Emirates and Qatar Airways, with larger aircraft, in particular with A380. So this is increasing traffic flow. At the same time, more and more direct flights have been activated also in the winter season with European destination. Even like in Fiumicino, the commercial area contribution is growing significantly, plus 28%, after the full renovation of passenger flow and commercial areas that have been recently completed. All in all, the EBITDA is growing close to 12%, and this is very, very encouraging and linked by all the factors I briefly described you. Moving to the last large segment of our group, I'm referring to Telepass. Well, you know that Telepass now is a new division of the group. It is controlled by Atlante, not anymore by Autostrade per Italia. The EBITDA grew by 10% if we strip out the effect of the reorganization. The total amount of payments, means including the onboard units, but also cards, apps, etc., grew by 7%, and customer base grew by 5%, approximately to 6 million users. In terms of strategic drivers, Telepass is expanding internationally, particularly in Europe. Now it is active in 7 countries in Europe, has approximately a market share of 30%, and it is opening new and new services, including fleet management, urban mobility, digital payments, in particular in parking, oil, etc., etc. So as you can see in the breakdown of revenues, the over 200 million euro of revenues are not anymore strictly linked to monthly fee, but it's also a result of sale of new services. So all in all, on page 9, you can see that on a like-for-like basis, EBITDA grew by approximately 6% to a total EBITDA that, if we include also the minimum revenues guarantees that actually under IFRIC 12 are accounted as financial income, but if we include that in the EBITDA on a restated basis, globally the EBITDA is close to 3.8 billion. Of course, we also had, and this was a penalization for 2017, we had some cost incurred with extraordinary transaction, so we had some advisory cost to pay, so 45 million actually are due to some one-off items. Debt decreased sharply to approximately 9.5 billion euro. This is the result of cash flow generation that was over 2.5 billion. At the same time, a boost was also the disposal of the 12% of Autostrade per l'Italia that gave approximately 1.9 billion euro of cash proceeds, including also the disposal of the stake in the airport of Venice that, as you know, was subject to a takeover bid, and we sold our stake with a good capital gain. We also let large institutional investors, the Monaco Principate, to enter in Azzurra Aeroporti. So this was also another source of cash. A few words on the situation with regard to the balance sheet. I would say we issued approximately 3 billion euro of new bonds in 2017 with very, very competitive yield to maturity. As a result, on average, we can say that the average cost of debt of all the group, including new debt and past debt, is close to 3%. So it is a quite significant result. Year by year, we are driving down the full cost indebtedness. And we have approximately 4.4 billion euro of available funding for CapEx. On top of that, of course, as you know, we have a large amount of financing for the acquisition of Abertis once the tender offer will go ahead.
A few words about the Getlink transaction as well. It's quite fresh. You know, the asset probably is an asset in the same world of infrastructures. So you have a view about the asset. We have ours. I will answer to your questions. The only thing I would like to highlight to you is what I just see on my screens is the reaction of the CEO of Getlink, who is saying in French, c'est une formidable nouvelle, the entry of Atlantia in the capital of Getlink. This is the demonstration that we are there as support for the management, for stability of the company and the strategy, and we have a very long-term view about the asset. You probably will have a lot of questions, so I will leave to the second part of this presentation my comments. Mr. Sonego, if you want to go through.
A few words on the Getlink transaction. As you know, we bought approximately 85 million shares from some shareholders. This is represent approximately 15.5% of the share capital of the company and 26.7% of the voting rights. Getlink is listed, so I don't think I need to go in detail about the business. I'm just telling you what we think are the key points that made this asset very attractive for taking a financial stake in. Well, basically, we recognize that the shuttle service operates the movement of trucks, cars, and coach, and this represents approximately 600 million euro revenues. Then we have the railway network that is a fully regulated business with approximately 300 million euro. And this is the bulk of the main service that makes this asset a real infrastructure asset. The regulatory framework is very, very strong. What we like is a very, very long maturity. It is close to 7 years, 70 years from now. And this is regulated by a set of concession contracts and law and rules between UK and France government. The market position of Gatwick is unrivaled. The shuttle service represents the 55% approximately of the market shares of car movements and 40% of truck movements. All the rest is basically ferry transfer. There is a long-term growing traffic trend that we expect. This is led by long-term expectation with regard to environment protection, e-commerce, etc., etc. And the shuttle service price is not regulated, and we think there could be, like we know the manager told many times openly, also some pricing power that can be exploited in the next years down the road. In terms of the second large portion of the business, while Getlink is the number one, it approximately move 80% of passengers along the main routes Eurostar operates. I'm referring to Paris, London, but also Amsterdam, London, for instance, and 20% is airline. Well, it is very well known that the UK airport system is very congested, so we can expect that this market share may grow a little bit also in the future. And this is a very regulated business, so we are coming from a very regulated business, so we like that, tariffs are linked to inflation, et cetera, et cetera. So from this point of view, it is a business very similar to the infrastructure market we are used to operate. A couple of words on the equity IRR we expect. It is, I would say, high single digit, but what is more important is that with a concession framework so long, almost 70 years, the entry price has a very limited impact to the total equity IRR. So even though we paid up to yesterday close a limited price, this is very limited in comparison with the entire long life of the concession. This is also in case of fluctuation that may be on the traffic side. This is what we call a strategic option because it's giving us access to the UK market that unfortunately has a limited amount of opportunities in the infrastructure business. This is probably one of the few. And in some way, it's also a way for us to invest, always, this is just a financial stake, also in the rail sector. So it is another limited investment in another infrastructure.
Yeah. Let me comment a little bit in this last concept of strategic option. I mean, I don't want to give to you the message that we are willing to enter into the rail sector because it's not our business, it's not in our radar screen. Eurotunnel is not rail sector, it's something different. Strategic option, it means a better access to UK market, sure, and is also the option in the long term to invest in the asset if necessary or if there is something strategic that can emerge. So don't take this rail sector as a change in strategy. We're not planning to change our strategy. We are in airports and toll roads, and Eurotunnel is very close to this kind of asset. We're not planning to enter into the rail sector. The operational performance of 2017 has been strong. in the construction area, in the LATAM area with the award of very important assets in Santiago del Chile area, in free flow tolling system, which is the core of our competencies. Fiumicino revamping is another example on how operational excellence can make the difference, becoming the best airport above 40 million passengers, according to passengers. In just 3 years after consolidation within Atlantia is a very, very good result for us. We are very proud about this. And it's not over. Financial performance, another very good year, demonstrating that, I mean, the size and the footprint of our group is wide enough to compensate negative results on one country. It was Brazil 2 years ago. One asset or client is Alitalia last year, still continuing to produce strong results, very high optionality due to net debt of EBITDA, down to 2.6 from the 3.1 1 year before, is a huge improvement. Remuneration, I mean, we are not where we will or we would be in case of transaction with Abertis, but we are producing a strong improvement this year. And optionality is the third pillar of our strategy. We want to continue to have strong optionality because most of the value is created by optionality. We develop year after year. Now we have Genova bypass approved. It's 4.4 billion euros of remunerated capex. Fiumicino airport development is something that is progressing and will produce very good results in regulated revenues and unregulated revenues. I'm thinking about commercial revenues and the optionality from being a leader in Santiago de Chile has produced very good awards of two very important assets within Santiago. So operational performance, financial performance and optionality is something we believe we will continue to develop next year because we have a model that works. So now I leave to you all the time to ask questions.
Excuse me?
Of course, I have not mentioned Abertis because we already said we will take whatever decision only after the approval from CNMV of OCTIF offer. Talking before is useless. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Vittorio Carelli of Banco Santander. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. The first question is related to the Eurotunnel acquisition. And 1 year ago, Eurotunnel was too risky because of Brexit, did not provide enough diversification because it's a single asset, and did not provide enough re-leverage, I would say, so only 7 billion compared to 16 to 19 billion of Abertis. So my question is, what has changed since 1 year ago? The second question is, focusing the attention on Abertis, and to simplify, Abertis provides a nice exposure to France, some short-term duration asset in Spain, plus a dispute and additional presence in Latin where you are already. So it is still really necessary to go further in this transaction or on a standalone basis, or you prefer now to wait and see and probably go for a breakup of the assets, assuming that France is not of interest anymore. And the last question is related to the ASP extension, if any, if you can update us on that. Thank you.
Yes. First question, what changed versus 1 year ago? You remember well, and I remember well that this was one of the topics of, conferences. What we are doing now is totally different from what you are talking about, in the sense that you are comparing one versus the other. Today, we are still in the Abertis takeover, and we are doing, in addition, a minority investment in Eurotunnel. So it's not something that is alternative to Abertis. We can do both. We can do Abertis, where we are committed, not just financially, but also strategically, in general terms, because we submitted an offer at 16.5, as you remember well. But on top of this, in a totally independent way, we have enough financial room to buy a significant stake, but minority, in an asset like Eurotunnel. So nothing changed, and we are doing the two things in parallel. We are still committed today because we submitted an offer to Abertis, and we are there, and we are buying a minority. I don't see any contradiction. Talking about Abertis, I already said we will take any decision only after the approval of CNMV, of active offer. The last question was about ASPI extension. There is a press release, unsolicited press release, for what we know, 2 days ago from the press assistant of Madame Vestager, the commissioner of competition direction of European Community, who is writing that the European Community is very happy about the cooperation with the Italian state. The analysis of the Italian proposal to extend our concession is progressing well, and they do hope to complete the process soon. I'm using not necessarily the right words, so you can refer to the original. You could find in the press releases from European Community, but the essence is they are working, they are happy, they are cooperating with the Italian government to go as fast as possible on the approval process of the extension of the concession. But please refer to the original, because probably there are some nuances I'm not catching with what I'm saying.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, just a follow-up. So you are going for a minority in Eurotunnel, which is in contrast with your past strategy, because this is, in my view, it's a clear path for control. I mean, TCI and you go close to 30%.
Is in contrast with our general high-level strategy, which is a strategy of consolidating, but we did already with Save, Venice Airport, and we did quite happily. So is not in contrast with the interest of our company. Of course, in the very long term, we have an interest in having consolidated assets, but this is true for long, long, long term.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Nicolò Pessina of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. I would have three. First of all, on Getlink, I would like to ask you if you could explain what are the key features of this asset that make it attractive for you, and if you would be interested in buying more shares. Second question on Abertis, a clarification on the statements reported by the press last week following the EGM. You mentioned that Alberti's share price already includes the potential synergies from a combination of the two businesses. So considering Alberti's is trading about €3 above the price offered by Atlantia, if it's correct to assume you quantify in €3 billion the synergies from the combination. And last question on in general on the business model. We have seen in the last few days a large investment fund winning an auction for some assets in India, to which also Atlantia took part. So does it mean that competition for brownfield assets is still very high? And how can Atlantia beat eventually competition? And if not, would you be interested in looking at greenfield assets also?
Thank you very much. I leave the answer on Abertis and synergies and billions of price to Sonego, because he participated to all the meetings with investors. I answer about India. We were four in the tender. The results have been published yesterday, and this is the good news. I mean, it's not anymore the tender process with 20, 30, 40 bidders. Now it's becoming a business for, big players. The bad news is that we were against Macquarie, Brooksfield, and PSP. And one bidder bidded at much higher price than the other three. So the good part is that we were very much in line with other two players, but one was quite out of the range. So, there is a market. There is not to win in brownfields. It means that, of course, we need to bid, in a high enough number of projects to have the probability to win at good price when there will be no overbidder. On the other side, I don't want to, hidden the fact that we won other two tenders this year. It was the completion of Vespucio Ring Road in Santiago del Chile and the extension of Costanera Norte. We are talking about very good projects. So, it's true that brownfield business is competitive, but our cost of capital is competitive enough to be capable to win when there are synergies. So the real question is whether we can find assets where we can create more synergies than others. On Getlink, we are talking about a financial investment. When you buy 17% of capital, more of voting rights, but at the end is less than 16% of capital, you are doing a financial investment. And we believe that financially is a good investment because we believe in the asset, and we do believe that if you are patient enough to keep the stake long enough, the IRR of the equity is not so much dependent on the enterprise. So it's a good long-term investment from the financial point of view. Talking about...
Well, on Abertis, we make clear again that we haven't taken any decision yet, and until we have the chance to have a look to the counter bid after it is approved, we won't take any decision. We don't have comments. We never had comments on price, but we only said in the past that our offer for Abertis was based on its standalone value at that time, and we considered that at that time that price was good for that asset and was enough to get the control of the asset. Now the situation changed. What we said is simply that, of course, we had some more time to work on synergies rather than on the simple standalone valuation. And if and when we will take any decision on how to go ahead with the tender offer, we will make clear the value we can think there is in integrating the two assets, even though it is evident that it is coming from overlapping, geographical overlapping, because we and them are present in some geographies, in particular LATAM, Spain, Brazil and Chile, and in Italy, in Europe, and we think that there is room in case of the acquisition is successful to integrate those assets and to improve the profitability of their own assets to the level we have on our own assets. So this can be a synergies that is only due to the overlapping of assets in the same geographies. But on this we will comment in detail when and if we will move ahead, but this is a decision we can take and we will take only after the counter bid is approved.
Very clear. Many thanks.
The next question is from Charles Menadier of Kempen. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Just two questions from me, two follow-ups. First of all, on Getlink, did you also consider acquiring the stake of TCI, which would then give you around 26% of the company? So did you, were you in touch with them, and did you try to acquire their stake? And then the second question, assuming a scenario where you would be able to acquire all of the shares or almost all the shares of Abertis at a higher price than it is currently, and you would then have the opportunity to increase your stake in Getlink, but would have limited financial flexibility because of the Abertis deal, would you consider selling another stake in your core assets like ASP or ADR to increase your stake in Getlink? Thank you.
Let's start from the last part of the question. We don't need to sell any asset to invest because with the debt on EBITDA, which is approaching 2.6 this year, with a strong cash flow, with a very long remaining life of concessions, we have all the flexibility we need, even with, the Abertis transaction. So we are not planning, and we do not need to sell ASPI and ADR minorities. About Getlink, we are happy about the transaction we just announced. That's all. We are happy about what we did. On Abertis, I leave to Mr. Sonigo to answer.
Well, I think the main question was if... again, on the potential takeover of Abertis, if we think we could be financially stressed after the acquisition of Getlink. I would say no. This is not enough to saturate our capacity, but we, again, this is, we are talking of two transactions not interrelating one to each other. If this would require an additional sale of Autostrade per Italia stake, I'll say again no, even though we know that some offers, people asking for that, there are a lot of them, but at the moment we are not taking anyone into consideration.
Okay, so just to clarify, you're saying that assuming then you buy a Abertis at a higher price, let's say 20, 21 euros even, you believe you have still the financial flexibility to buy another stake in Gate, in Getlink. That's what you're saying.
I think we have been clear in saying that we are happy with the acquisition of Getlink we have today. First of all, secondly, we're not taking into consideration questions on the price because, as I told you, we haven't taken any decision on Abertis deal.
And let me say I'm not ready to take any view about the shares that are listed and about actions we could take in the future. What I know is that we are happy about what we did. And it's sustainable, it's not, it's totally compatible with what we offered with on Abertis, and that's all.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Enrico Bartoli of MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everybody. A few questions on my side. First of all, on your CapEx, if you can give us a guidance for the CapEx for 18, and then I have a question regarding the investments in the Rome airports. They were down significantly in 17 compared to 16. Could you elaborate a bit of the reason and what is expected to be the trend in 2018? And then you mentioned your presentation, 2.4 billion of CapEx related to the 2007 plan, which is the first priority. I think that the authorization process for some of this project is quite advanced by the Italian government. Could you update us on this? And then I have a question on Brazil. If you can update us on the situation regarding the option on Rodoanel, if you have some visibility on the timing of fully acquiring this asset, also in consideration of the situation of the Bertin Group. And last, on if you can give us some words about the situation regarding the authorization for Hispasat. I guess that probably you are discussing with the ministry in Spain if you think that the authorization could determine some delay in the takeover process for Abertis. Thank you.
Thank you. The numbers is something that Mr. Sonoco can provide to you about CapEx in general and in Rome Airport. What I can tell you is that the number of CapEx in 2016 was much higher because of completion of the extra Schengen, expansion area. In 2016, therefore, we did a huge effort, a tremendous effort to complete the works in time with very high productions. In 2017, we worked more on design and authorization of the Schengen area, where we will start to invest this year, and we will be full speed only in 2019. So, the reduction of the CapEx is due to a cycle of the expansion with Schengen area expansion coming at completion in 2020 and full speed in 2019. About the 2.4 billion 2007 plan, let me say that for a good part, the authorization is very advanced or completed. When I say completed, it is including the Conferenza dei Servizi, the urbanistic approval. Talking about Rodoanel, you probably know, or because we already said, that there is a complication about this, in the sense that Bertin Group has some problems, financial problems in some areas, so they went under protection. Therefore, now is the management of the company that is completing the works of Rodoanel is under judiciary administration. This is why I believe that the call option is not something actual right now. By the way, all the payments or loans we did to Bertin in order to do the works are totally covered with a contract that is, is quite robust, so we don't have any problem. But we will not probably exercise the call option soon because of what I said, because the counterpart is under judicial administration. About Hispasat, the situation is well known in the sense that it's a situation where our position and Octave position is quite aligned. There is no authorization today, and I cannot say more. I cannot say anything about when it will come and in which form.
Briefly on CapEx, that was your earliest question. In 2017, we spent overall approximately 1.1 billion. We think we will be more or less at the same level, probably really slightly above, but very limited. So I would confirm that more or less in 2018 we're expecting a very similar number.
The next question is from Stefano Gamberini of Equita SIM. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Three questions, if I may. The first of all, regarding Telepass, could you elaborate a little bit what is your strategy for Telepass standalone, even excluding the acquisition of Abertis, and what could be the potential, say, in case you buy Abertis? The second question regarding ADR, you wrote in the press release that traffic should be flat in 2018, excluding any big changes for Alitalia. So what is your scenario right now in 2018-19 regarding traffic and also the target of EBITDA that should grow by 7% per year to 2020, if I'm not wrong, if you can confirm this this target. Last question regarding the dividend policy. You increase DPS by 25%. Does the dividend policy of 10% growth to 2020 is still in place? And on the other side, if you confirm that in case of acquisition of Abertis, you could increase DPS up to 30% on the underlying dividend policy. So how could we plug into the calculation this 25% increase in 17? Thanks.
Again, starting from the last part of the question, we are, this year with dividends, we are work in progress because the dividends should be adjusted taking into consideration the exchange ratio with Abertis. This is how the first, advance payment, interim payment has been increased by 30%, but, the essence is that in case of Abertis transaction, we still believe the transaction will be highly accretive. We still believe that the increase of dividends could be 30% on top of the historical policy, meaning 40% in one single year. Before then, we are, adjusting our policy based on results. The results this year have been quite good, so we are increasing more than what was our original policy. On ADR, what we are planning is some level of stability, and this is based on the, what has been included in the summer plan of Reliance. We know how many seats will be offered to which destination, so we have a clear idea about the level of revenues and passengers that we could have this year, unless there is a disruption. Disruption means that what is on sale now, for sale now in terms of destination tickets, could be cancelled if there is a big discontinuity. But we don't believe there will be a discontinuity on ADR coming from Alitalia. Talking about Telepass, the strategy of Telepass is quite simple. We want to become or reinforce our position of leader in the solutions for mobility, for car mobility. So payments, services, parking, whatever. We started this strategy a couple of years ago. We completed successfully the definition of a perimeter that is arm length with Autostrade per l'Italia and Atlantia. Revenues are growing. We are entering into new segments of payments, parkings, insurances, and so on. And we are ready, by the way, even without the Abertis deal, a market leader in Europe for tolling services, where we are the operator with the largest number of countries accessible with the same onboard unit. So we have a technological advance, a commercial advance,
we believe that will help us to stay at the edge of the evolution of this sector. But what we want to do is not just being leader in tolling services, but being leader in mobility services. And this is why we are increasing our offer and going deeper in the service with the customers.
Just a brief follow-up, if
target,
I may.
Sorry. Target EBITDA, we never give any target for the next year, for 2018. Yeah.
Okay, just a quick follow-up, if I may, regarding this dividend policy. Have I understood correct that if you buy a Beatrice, you could increase DPS next year by 40% on top of the 1.22 dividend of 70?
No. On top of the historical policy. So what we are doing this year is an anticipation, is an advance of the policy we will have in case there will be a Abertis deal, but it's something we are giving to shareholders because we believe that's sustainable in any case. There will be no step back, but we cannot add another 40% to what we are giving now.
Okay, many thanks.
Talking about the 2020 targets of EBITDA, there is no change. We believe that we are still on the same dynamic. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Stephanie Das of RBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My first question is a follow-up on the dividend. So should we assume a 10% step up on last year's dividend as a base for the 30% increase in case you acquire Abertis? Regarding your capital allocation and more specifically on acquisitions, can you maybe give us a bit more insight on how your IRR compares Getlink versus Abertis? And your strategic plan to diversify away from Italy and reach, if I remember well, 80% by 2020. Do you have any targets in terms of Europe versus non-Europe diversification? And when you mentioned access to the UK market, you decided to go for something more road tunnel related. But were you considering airports too, given potentially one asset coming up for sale this year? And then finally, regarding your financial leverage, would you be comfortable going back to over 5x, up to maybe 5.5 or even further? And regarding your cost of debt, so the average was 3% for this year. I believe that the financing for if you get Abertis was initially 1.9% down to 1.6%. Is that also how you're going to fund your stake in Getlink? Thank you.
This is Massimo. Let's start with dividend. To be clear, we said 1 year ago that assuming Abertis transaction was done, we were ready to pay a plus 40% of dividends, while we were used to pay 10% increase. As you perfectly know, the transaction of Abertis has yet been concluded. What we are saying is that we anyway increased the 2017 dividend versus 2016 by 26% overall. That this is honestly half away from the plus 10% we were used to pay and the plus 40% we promised in case of Abertis. So I would say that if the Abertis deal materializes, we will move to the plus 40. We are just half away. So this is not an indication.
But it's plus 40 on last year's dividend.
No, it's... We said plus 40.
Yes, 40 on last year.
Yes.
40 on last.
On 2016. Yes.
Yes.
But then, what about the 10% of this year? There should have been plus 50 total, right?
Yes, you will always get the plus 10%. The question is the one-off increase on top.
Okay.
We said plus 30, we had an increase of plus 16, on top of the plus 10%. The plus 10% is always our policy.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Bosco Ojeda of UBS.
We had to complete the answer of the long list of questions from the previous.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. On capital allocation, I would say, as was evident also from some past questions, of course, we cannot decide easily where to expand, because opportunities in industries are, in this industry are not very often, very frequent.
No.
So we try to bid wherever is possible according to our strategy. And of course, we like some markets rather than others. From a financial viewpoint, Europe is a market we would like to continue to invest because of the huge spread from equity IRR and cost of funding. And coming back, also coming to your last question on Abertis, this is also part of the rationale for which we bid on Abertis. Our cost of funding for Abertis is, at that time, actually announced close to 2%, if not 1.9%. The market went more favorably, honestly, and what we are renegotiating now with the lenders is even lower than what we got 1 year ago. So it is still a good moment to make this kind of investment, in particular in Europe. You mentioned about the UK market. As I commented before, entering the UK market is not that easy in the infrastructure. There are only a few assets on sales. You mentioned the potential sale of some UK airports. Well, it is, again, very early to talk because actually there is not any process open.
Yeah. And what's more important, we cannot talk in advance about assets or opportunities or listed companies where we could, consider to invest because, I don't want to interfere. I don't want to create a situation where there is an interference on our plans. So there is a level of confidentiality that should remain. Anyhow, our strategy remains the same. Listed companies could be even better than private deals. Europe is a good region where to invest, and we are still on the same page.
And sorry, just on the net debt to EBITDA, where you could see yourself going.
Yeah, let me say that debt on EBITDA, net debt on EBITDA is an indicator that sometime should be avoided because, you cannot compare with multiples on EBITDA groups that have, 11 years of remaining concession or 20 years or 30 years. What is more meaningful is the debt service coverage ratio, and this is something that the rating agencies consider as well, not just the debt on EBITDA. We know that we are under-levered, that there is a huge room for improvement of leverage. I do believe that for a group like Atlantia, even 5 times EBITDA on debt is totally sustainable, but then I'm not saying that our target is to get there. It depends. It depends on a lot of factors. It depends on length of concessions, portfolio, geographical presence, and whatever. But we do consider not just debt on EBITDA, but also FFO on debt and debt service coverage ratio.
Thank you.
The next question is from Bosco Ojeda of UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. My questions have been answered, but just a quick follow-up on the previous question. Do you have any limit on your credit rating, or is that how relevant is that to you? And also somehow related to that and your long-term ambitions on other potential deals, do you have, would you just, I know you don't need it, but would you consider at any point issuing capital or issuing shares? Thank you.
Issuing capital or shares is not in not taking into even into consideration, no plan, no need. I would say I would never propose to my board something like this because we don't need. We need to optimize our capital. We don't need to, I mean, raise more capital. We have the opposite problem. And with the cash generation we are producing every year we have more financial resources to invest. I would say that we are happy about the current rating. But, I mean, our financing cost is not so much dependent on one notch more or less, we believe, even if rating is important for us.
Thank you.
The next question is from John Farah of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thanks for taking my questions. It was on Getlink again. So I think you've been pretty clear that you want to stay a financial investor for now. But can you clarify a little bit what your long-term aspirations about, you know, about the asset? Are you thinking to eventually consolidate? And I'm sure you're aware, net debt to EBITDA of Getlink is up more than 7 times, and I wanted to see, you know, have your view on, you know, on that.
Yeah, let me say that we just bought a stake on Getlink based on public data. I would say that in order to have a view more, I mean, a comprehensive view about the asset, we will need years, and we will have more information and more ideas probably mid-long term. For the time being, we are happy about where we are, and I don't see any need for any further move.
The next question is from Victor Asitores of Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I have several questions, if I may. The one is on traffic on the Italian motorways. Is that on the slide number 4, you mentioned that it's 5.1% year-to-date in the first 7 weeks. If you can explain the factors that underline this growth, and second, if you can give us any guidance for the full year. The second is that you can give a color about the level of the treasury shares that you have right now and also the current stake that you have in EDR because you purchased some shares. No? And then the third question is regarding the Genoa bypass. Is that you can explain to us, if you may, what is the remuneration framework that applies to the Genoa bypass and how could it change when finally you obtain the approval by the European Commission regarding the extension of ASPI. And regarding that question, if you have done any calculation about the net present value on value creation, the internal rate of return that you are creating on this extension. Thank you.
I will, say something about the last part of the question, and then Mr. Sonego can answer to the rest. We have not produced any calculation on net present value of the extension for the simple reason that the extension should be neutral in terms of value creation according to European rules. We don't believe that we need to disclose the economic details of the transaction as long as that transaction will not be completed, but we are fully aware about our real cost of capital, our need for, I mean, a better leverage, and we believe that the market will appreciate what we are doing. On the Genoa bypass, by the way, the remuneration will remain exactly the same we have in current contract and that has been negotiated in 2002 when the sovereign debt was 10 years, I mean, was remunerated at 5% for 10 years. So the rest, sorry? Yeah, 2018 traffic for the first 6 weeks has been very, very strong, above 5% year on year. Then we had 2 weeks of heavy snow. So, I mean, the results will are not at the same level for the next 2 weeks. Let me say that we have no plan for the year because we never communicate the our view about the traffic for the entire year. But, I mean, we are prepared for whatever scenario, even if we don't see reasons why good numbers should not continue, because the that 5% increase in the first 6 weeks was very, very strong and supported by a strong component of heavy traffic. And when heavy traffic is above 6%, it means that consumption is doing well, but also production is doing well. And we don't see any, I mean, big structural change that should, I mean, deteriorate this very good dynamic of heavy traffic, which is much less dependent on humors and mood of the country. It's much more substantial.
Then you ask the amount of treasury shares we have in our portfolio. It is currently it is equal to 0.966%. I tell you again, 0.966%, while the current final stake in ADR after some purchase of shares is equal to 99.38%. I repeat, 99.38%.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Ms. Nicolò Pessina of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. A few more questions. First of all, on Brazil, you took part to just one of the tenders, of the recent tenders in the country. So I'm wondering why you didn't take part of the others. Second, on Bologna Airport, last year you acquired slightly less than 30%. I'm wondering if you're happy with the investment and if you eventually would like to increase your exposure to the asset. And finally, you signed an exclusivity agreement for the potential acquisition of IRB infrastructure in India. I'd like to know your plans, if you could give us a bit more visibility on what you intend to do with this potential target. Thank you.
Starting again from the end, IRB, we just submitted an offer 50-50 for the portfolio that has been awarded 2 days ago to apparently to the winner, who is Macquarie. It's public, yes. So this is what we have with IRB now. Talking about Brazil, we have participated just to one tender. We over lost and somebody over won the tender. Let me say that the owner of the adjacent toll road that was CCR decided not even to tender because the conditions were, according to their view, not economically sustainable. We decided that probably there was some margin for return, and we decided to increase the base price by 15% or something like that. 12, my people is telling me. The winner, increased the price by 80-something. But let me say that we are in a business that is a time business. I'm sure that time will come when the rational buyers will be out of the market. You see the stock price of the main players in Brazil in these days. You see minus 20 or whatever percent. And I believe that if you are rational enough and patient enough, you can have opportunities sooner or later. But, I mean, don't count on us to be, aggressive and, betting on very strong growth in the future, because it's not the way we behave. On the other part was about Nice?
Bologna.
Okay, sorry. Bologna is doing well. It's growing well. It's a financial investment, as we said. It's a big stake, close to 30%. I mean, we prefer first to learn and to see what they are doing, to support the management to the extent the management needs support, and we have all the time to take the proper decisions. For the time being, we are happy remaining a financial investor.
Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Vittorio Carelli of Banco Santander. Please go ahead.
Apologies, Jasmine, for my follow-up. Just a clarification on Getlink. Are you going to ask for a representative in the board? And the second one is related to the Abertis process. When is exactly the date until which the Spanish government has the need to say something about the approval of the CMV, about your prospectus? Was it today, Friday, or is next week, is the 8th? Because I think they have to go to the board of to the ministries or whatever, so probably it's today. Can you confirm that, please? Thank you.
Got the question. The question is when there is the time limit for the recurso from government against CNMV decision is 8th of March.
Okay. So
is that the question?
Yes, correct.
Yes.
The other question about the Getlink representative.
Yeah. Let me say if I would see or consider natural if there is. I mean, a representation of Atlantia in the board of Getlink, that's natural. It's natural that the shareholders that have more invested in the company have a representation in order to help the company to do more and faster. And we will see what will be the development about this. But I would say, I would consider this as a natural evolution.
Okay. On the approval, just a clarification. I think that the Board of Ministers join on Fridays, and the 8th is on Thursday. Therefore, if something should happen today,
probably you are part of a Spanish bank. Probably you have more insight than we do. We do. But I mean, as I said, we wait for facts to happen, and we wait. We are quiet. We will take our decisions as soon as the decisions. We'll have ground to be taken.
Okay.
Not yet the case. Thank you.
Grazie.
This was the last questions. So thank you very much for taking part to this call. In case of further questions, we are available in the next days or now. Thank you very much. Bye.